All right. Well, as Pastor mentioned, we're the Hollands, and we are. God has called us to go to the Arctic Canada, more specifically the Saulteaux region, and we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. We'll be working with the Dene Indians. We're looking forward to being here with you, as I said, today. But we'll talk about that. We have a presentation tonight, a show about our field, and we'll have time for some questions and stuff then. So, all right, if you would open your Bibles this morning to Judges chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 17 through 21. Starting out, and we're going to move around a little bit in our Bibles today, to some different passages. But this passage of Scripture, I believe most of us all know the story of Gideon and with his men and the tremendous miracle that God did on that day, or that evening, I should say, that time. And we see here, first of all, that Gideon, as we all know, started out with 32,000 men. And even with those 32,000 men, he was still way outnumbered. But as we see, as the Lord moved, and they end up finally with 300 men, as they had gone through the different steps, as we read in the Scriptures, to finalize, it was down to those 300 men. And we see that in this story, how God moved in a great way, and it was only through God that this victory could be won. But there's a phrase at the end of this that we're going to focus on, and that'll be the title of the message this morning. But if you start in verse 17, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do." Now, I want to say something here. I got to watch. I've been preaching more now. I have a tendency, as the more I preach, to say more. I'm not a rookie anymore. Well, I sure certainly kind of am. But you have a tendency that you see something and it sticks out in your mind. You want to say something. But as we see that, it says, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And we see and we know that God has a plan and an order for everything. Just remember that as we preach throughout the day here today. Verse 18 says, "When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And I want us to notice the phrase in verse 21, "And they stood every man in his place." And the title of the message this morning is "Consider Your Place." Consider your place. We all have a place and a purpose for our Lord and Savior. And that's the title of the message this morning. Let's bow in prayer before we go any further. Our Father, we thank you for the day. I thank you for the folks here at Calvary Baptist. I thank you for their hospitality and the warm greeting this morning, Father. And I pray that you just bless this message today and bless our time together in your house. And I pray, Father, that I would only say what you would have me to say this morning, Father. But as we think of your word and the tremendous lessons and life lessons and the tremendous gift that it is to us, Father, and we think of our tremendous gift of salvation that you provided through Jesus, your Son. And I pray, Father, today as we think of souls here today, that maybe there might be someone here today that might not know for sure, Father, where they would spend eternity if they were to pass on today. I pray, Father, that you would move in their heart and they would settle that today and get saved. I just pray that you just work in our hearts also as we think of, as we consider our place and what you have for us to do, that we would be busy about that today, Father, in serving you. We just ask, Father, that you would move today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I think about that, as the title is "Consider Your Place," and I do say this, you know, I spent 20 years in church before I was sure I was saved. And you say, "Wow, Brother Holland." Well, I went forward, just a quick testimony. I went forward when I was young, but struggled with it through my life and finally settled it at the age of 20. And I sat through a lot of preaching, a lot of messages. So you never know who might be sitting in the auditorium that might be struggling with their salvation, might not know for sure. And I encourage you today, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, if you don't know for sure we're going to spend eternity, get that settled today. Please get that settled today. Because your place right now, if you're not for sure, is dangerous. That's a dangerous place to be in, not knowing for sure. And it may be something in your life and you may be struggling, maybe backslidden or something. You know what? Well, that's going to keep you from serving the Lord, obviously. So we need to make sure that we get things taken care of. But as we consider our place today, we look at these folks here in verse 21, and they stood every man in his place. I'm sure that each one of them were happy that each person was doing what they were supposed to do. I imagine they were a little nervous being how outnumbered they were, but we see that God moved in a great way here. And I'm thankful for that. What a great illustration. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, please, as we consider our place today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this message, as I said, as we talked about those that someone that might need saved, but this message is primary to those of us that are saved and serving the Lord. And I just think it's so important that we realize that our time is short. And when we get to heaven, I believe we're going to all wish that we did more for the Lord when we were down here. I believe we're all going to. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18. The first thing is the fact of your place. The fact of your place. If I can get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here. There we go. Took me a while this morning. All right. The Bible says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one." I'm sorry. "And all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" I look at verse 17 as I see that, and I think about that. I don't know about you, but I picture this big ear walking down the aisle, or a big nose or something all by itself. No, that's not what it is. It's all part of the body. Each of our individual body parts are part of our body, just like the church body. Each of you have a place and a part in the church body. Verse 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." The first point today is it is a selected place. In verse 18a, but the Bible says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body." So we see that our place is a selected place. Now, if you're keeping notes, all of them start with S. And this is, I always forget, alliteration. The first time I preached this message, a pastor came up to me afterwards and said, "That was good alliteration, brother." And I'm like, "Thank you." Okay. Went out of the car and I asked my college student son, "What does alliteration mean?" I had to have him explain it to me. But it means when everything starts with the same letter. So those of you that didn't know that, you learned that. You probably all knew that already this morning. But anyhow, we see the first thing here, that it is a selected place. God makes the place. God has selected a place for each of us. And as we go down through here, we'll see that it's important. It's important that, you know what we need to do? We must allow Him to use us at that plan. You know, each of us have different talents. Each of us have different abilities. And sometimes we have those talents and abilities, but we don't let the Lord use them. We may be timid. We may be afraid to do something. Boy, let the Lord use you. That's what we need to. That's what we're here for. And He can use us in many different ways. And I thank the Lord that each of us are different. How boring life would be if we were all the same. You know, we're all different. Now, sometimes that drives us each crazy, that we're all different, because some of us drive each other crazy. But you know what? If we were all the same, we probably would still do this. We'd drive each other crazy. But anyhow, we're different. And the Lord made us different for a reason. So we see, first of all, as I said, it is a selected place. God made a place for each of us, just like the body has the ears, the nose, the eyes, the arms, the fingers. We have a place, the church. We have a place in God's church. Then we see, secondly, that it is a special place. It is a special place. You know what? No one else can fill that place but you. No one else can fill that place but you. We all have a special place. Again, as I mentioned, we have different personalities. We have different abilities, talents, gifts. You know, I think of one gift that is very, very important in today's day and age, and that's encouragement. The gift of encouragement. We live in a time when many people need to be encouraged, both lost and saved. And boy, there's nothing more refreshing to me when I come in and see someone smiling, when someone's smiling and encouraging to people. We really, really need that because we live in hard times. So we see that we each have different gifts, and you let the Lord use those gifts. It is a special place. You know, God has a special place for our family, and that's the Arctic. That's where He's called us, into the Saltu region of the Northwest Territory. God hasn't called everybody to the Saltu region. And I'm sure many of you are thankful for that. But God hasn't called everyone to go to Africa. And God hasn't called everybody to be here in Bucyrus, Ohio. But there are some of you that are here. And God's got a task at hand. So allow God to use you in that special place. So we see it as a selected place, a special place. Then we also see that it is a significant place. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. It is a significant place. Ezekiel chapter 22. And for sake of time, we're just going to read verses 30 and 31 here, focusing on verse 30. But we see prior to these verses the time and the wickedness and the evil that is going on in this scripture passage. But verse 30, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Verse 31, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." But verse 30, in that last part where it says, "Before me, looking for a man that stood in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We see the importance, the significance of that man or person in this day and age to stand in the gap. It's our job to stand in the gap between the world and our Lord and tell the people about our Lord and what He's done for us. That's our job. It's a significant place. And you do make the difference. Don't ever think that I can't affect the world. Oh, you absolutely can, folks. We absolutely can, just by having a passion and a concern for souls and caring about people. We do have a significant place. You know, sometimes we think our tasks are too small. I know we have a young lady at our church that she gets a glass of water every service, puts it under there for pastor. It's just a little job, but you know what? It's important. When he needs that glass of water, he doesn't always use it, but when he needs it, it's there. And that's her job, and she does it flawlessly. That's something that she does. You know, also, I think of my own self. At a time when I was in college, I was going to business school at the time, and working in the church, and one of the fellows drove a van that was a route that went out to some of the nursing homes and went out also to a veterans home and also to some of the special needs homes. And he asked me, he says, "Hey, Brother Todd, would you like to drive the van?" I said, "Okay, that's a simple little thing. I can drive the van and be involved and just drive the van and deliver around. That way he could work with the people. I'd help load them on the van and stuff." And I thought, that's a simple little thing and didn't think of that much importance. But you know, when you think about that, first of all, after about the second week, those folks had a special place in my heart. And I began to love those folks and care about them. And you know, some people say, "Well, why bring some of them to church? They don't understand." Oh, who's to say what they understand? Who's to say what they understand? They need to come to the church. And God made a special place in my heart for those folks. And, you know, it seemed like a little task, but it was significant because those people, even years after we went back and visited, some of those ladies that you wouldn't thought would remember came up and hugged me and said, and were just remembered me. So it made an impact in their lives. Folks, we do that. We have a significant place, and we need to remember that. Don't ever feel that what you're doing for the Lord is not important. You know, somebody's got to clean the restrooms and clean the church and do different things like that. That's important. You know, but I always do like to end this point of being significant with the point that sometimes some positions are more lofty than others. Well, look out. If we get into a lofty position, don't let it go to our heads. We need to look out. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says we need to take heed lest we fall. When we think we're something, that's when we get in trouble. We need to remember that. A lot of times we're, the Lord will humble us in those positions. But as I said, we see here that the first point is it's a selected place. It's a special place, and it is a significant place. And then if we look at Psalm chapter 91, we see that it is a secure place. Psalm chapter 91 and verse 14. Psalm chapter 91 and verse 14. Psalm 91 and verse 14. And 14 through 16, actually. Talking about our salvation here. And the Bible says, because... I'll wait till you get there. I still hear pages turning. I have a tendency to motor along here pretty quick, so I'll not get too much in a hurry. But Psalm chapter 91, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When we think of it being a secure place, we think of the salvation that we have through our Lord. We think of He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our comfort in our times of trouble. We can go to Him when we have these times. We can go to Him and we know that our future is secure. We know the end of the story. You know, I stop listening to the radio. I have to stop listening to the radio. I like to listen to some political talk shows. I get discouraged. And I let thinking and looking at politics and looking at the world the way it is. But you know what, folks? It's going to get worse before it gets better. It is. That's just the fact of life. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But we know the end of the story. We know where we're going to be when we go on, when this world comes to an end. But that doesn't mean that we ought not be out there. We ought to vote. We ought to be involved as far as that goes. Hopefully I don't say too much politics here. That's going to be it. We need to be involved in that. But more importantly, we need to be involved in telling others about the Lord. That's how this country would change. And I believe it could. I believe it could if we set our minds to it. And we are busy telling others about the Lord. But we see that it is a secure place. Praise the Lord for that. Then we see also, if you turn to John chapter 14, that it is a serene place. It is a serene place. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You know, we live in a sin-cursed world, and we all have aches and pains, people die, and we're Lord made us, so we miss people when they die. But you know, when we're saved, we know we're going to see them again. But you know, we have times. There's many folks go through many, many trials and tribulations. I think of a young missionary family, the Smith family. I don't know if you all know the Smith, Joshua Smith. They're going to Argentina. Got a lot of missionaries thinking, they're going to Argentina. It wasn't how long after they were at our missionary candidate school did their little boy come down with the cancer? Not very long. How old was Joel? 18 months. He came down with a very rare form of cancer. You know, and you think, oh, Lord, these folks are out in deputation serving the Lord. And they're going through this terrible time with this little boy. Nobody wants to see their children sick. You know, that's a hard thing for parents. And this little boy is sick, but you know what? Today, he is cancer-free, isn't he? What a miracle of God. But you know what? During that time that they were going through that, Brother Joshua was out in the deputation. His wife was with that little guy in Vanderbilt Hospital down in Tennessee with him. And you know, I never saw him discouraged. You see emails. They were encouraged. But you know what? That's because they were in a serene place. They had a serene place because they were walking with the Lord. And we see that in John chapter 14. Look at verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, there's going to be times when we're going to be up in the Saulteaux region of Arctic Canada. We're going to be all by ourselves. It's just going to be and there's going to be a time when it will just be me and my wife and my children. As you can see, they're not going to be up there with us that long. And we were up there in June for 3 weeks without them. We missed them then tremendously. But you know what? We can go to our Lord. There will be times when it's dark, and I'm sure we might have some discouragement come in our lives. But you know what? We can go to our Lord, and He's with us. Just like all of us in here. It's a serene place when we're with Him. We can go to Him through those times of struggle and those dark times in our lives. So, so important that we remember that and we count Him. He can comfort us and be with us. You know, I think of another example with us. When right after we started deputation, Macy, and she doesn't mind me telling about this, but Macy started and had a couple seizures. And it was like, wow. You know, again, you talk about a time when your child goes through something physical or something like that. It's hard. It can be hard on you. But you know what? We went to Children's Hospital and we did all those different things. And I had peace that this was obviously in the plan for us. But you know, one thing it did do, and we see how the Lord works, it opened my eyes to the struggles of other people with children that had that same problem and seeing how difficult some of the things were. So when we go through a lot of times, it opens our eyes to seeing so we can be a blessing and help others. So, but anyhow, as I said, we see that it is a serene place and God can give us perfect peace through the most difficult times in our lives. We also see that it is a safe place. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 this morning in verse 10. Proverbs 18 and 10. Just in reflecting on this again, as I said, we see it as a selected place. When we consider our place, it is a selected place, a special place, a significant place, a secure place, a serene place, and we see that it is a safe place, a safe place. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, and this is one of my favorite verses, the Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." When I think about that, I think of my Lord and going to Him and thinking of Him in that tower. Now, when I think of a strong tower, I think of something being high above the ground. You think of the security of that tower being up there above the dangers below. You know, you also think of seeing the enemy afar off. When you're in a tower, you can see. You know, when we're walking with the Lord and with Him daily, and we have that kind of relationship that we need to have with Him, we can see the wiles of the devil. That don't get me wrong. We need to be walking with Him, but He will give us wisdom. We can see those things coming. He gives us more wisdom by being in His Word. We have some early warning, and we can prepare for those things. You know, there's one of the greatest concerns I have in life is my children, that they grow up and serve the Lord, and that the Lord does not take them to the world. You know, and how do we do that? Now, you know, it's right here from learning from His Word. And hopefully that we plant the seed in their lives and that they realize that this is the life they need to live. Now, you know, sometimes people have been taught everything through their life, and it comes a point when we all have to make the decision who we're going to follow. And it'll come just like any of them. They have to know what's right. And they have to make the decision to follow the Lord with their lives and not follow the world. But, you know, when I think about that, I think we go to Him and that He's a strong tower. I've got time. I've got a little bit of an embarrassing personal illustration about this. When I think of something that's safe, I was out deer hunting several years ago down in southern Ohio. And, you know, most deer hunters, time when you're hunting, it was an early muzzleloader season, and it was during the time of the rut when the mating season is going on. And my brother-in-law, who I always say was born about 200 years later than he should have been, he would have been good with Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. That's the kind of guy he was. He had me out in the woods. He says, "Hey, I've watched the sign. There's a big buck coming down around this area." So we get out in the woods, as any of you that are hunters that know, you go out in the woods in the dark in the morning to get situated there so you can be set when the deer come through. Well, for some reason, the Monday morning we were down there and nothing happened. And he says, "I think we were too late. We need to come in a little earlier the next day." So Tuesday, we got up and we're down there, and sure enough, we got in there. Right when we got to where I was supposed to be, this deer just started having a fit. How many of you have ever heard a deer snort and make all kinds of noise in the woods? Oh, not too many of you have. Okay, some of you have. Okay. It will scare you to death because they snort and stomp their feet, and especially a big buck when you're interfering with his territory. So my brother-in-law says, "Wow, look at him." I'm like, I couldn't see it. It's pitch dark. He could see the shadow and see the outline of it. Well, my concern is, that this thing's got these big horns and that I'm going to get stuck with these things, because he was mad. He wasn't going anywhere. He was over there about 50, 60 yards away just having a fit. And so my brother-in-law says, you stay here, get your tree steps in the tree and get up in the tree, and maybe I'm going to leave. Maybe he'll come back and you'll get a shot during daylight at him or whatever. Well, you know what? My concern at that time was getting up in that tree high enough so that deer couldn't get me. So all I did was put the steps in that tree, and I climbed up and hung onto that tree until daylight, and then I got back down. That's embarrassing for a hunter, okay? But the point is I felt safe up above the ground. And when we think of our Lord, we can be safe when we think of Him as a strong tower. So we see that it is a safe place. And then finally, we see that it is a satisfying place. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 25, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8. And I think this is a great verse that shows Abraham, and when his life was done, that he was satisfied. The Lord was satisfied with the life that he had lived. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8. The Bible says, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. You know, when we do what God has for us, and I was preaching the other night, you know, folks, doing what God has for us, you don't have to be a brain surgeon. It's not rocket science. It's just following what He has in His Word and being obedient to the steps in His life and having a tender heart. You know, it's so easy to focus on ourselves and think about our wants and our need and our desires and what we want, and not think about anybody else. But may I let you know something? That's a miserable way to live, thinking about only us. You know, to have a satisfying life and serving the Lord, it's about others. It's about putting others before us. Again, that's not a difficult thing to say. Sometimes it's hard to do, though. Sometimes it's hard to do. I've seen people fuss over the craziest little things, and you know what? It's not a big deal if we would just say, okay, and agree to disagree or whatever and go the separate ways. You know, we think about that, and I think of Abraham and how satisfied he was. You know what? It's a matter of just doing what God has for us to do. If you don't have something here to do at the church, ask pastor. Get something to do. You know, tell others about the Lord. You know, I think of, a physical example and a spiritual example. I think of a physical illustration of satisfaction for me. Is that the right word? Being satisfied, we'll say that. Being satisfied. I love pork and sauerkraut. One of my favorite meals. During New Year's Day, my wife will make mashed potatoes and pork and sauerkraut. It cooks all night. Stinks up the house, but I love it. It smells good. Everybody else hates it. Well, some of my kids like it, but it smells. But boy, I sit down New Year's Day and I fill up that plate with mashed potatoes and I put sauerkraut on those and I have some pork and I just indulge in pork and sauerkraut. And I roll out of my chair when I'm done eating that, but I'm satisfied with the amount what I just had. You know, physically I think about that. But you know, totally much better than that would be when we go and we lead someone to the Lord on a spiritual sense. How much more satisfying is that? How important is that? I tell you what, it just, the Lord refreshes you and He gives you a desire to tell more about Him. But we need to allow Him to use us through these times. You know, and not just everyone we witness to is not going to necessarily get saved, but it's the idea of planting the seed. And, you know, when we go to the Arctic and go to the villages, it is going to take years of work, because these folks up there, the Dene Indians, they have absolutely no idea who Jesus is. Absolutely none. And it's going to take years of time with us spending time. Now, we may have some converts quickly. Those that understand, you just have to be careful, and I'm kind of getting sidetracked a little bit, but you have to be careful that they understand who God is. A lot of times what they do is they add that on to their other religion. And missionaries have to watch that, because they'll take this and say, this is something they can add to what their beliefs. No, this is it. This is all they need. They don't need anything else. And we have to be careful of that. But the satisfaction that we'll have in doing that, you know what? And then the satisfaction knowing that our Lord is being honored through all that. So we see that it is a satisfying place. And I encourage you all to be involved and do what God has you do. Allow Him to use your talents. He can use you in many ways. So just in reviewing real quick, we see, as we mentioned, that it is a when we consider our place, it is a selected place. It is a special place. It is a significant place. You do make the difference. You do make the difference. It is a secure place, speaking of our salvation, that we know the end of the story. It is a serene place we can go to Him when we go through struggles in our lives. It is a safe place. Nothing can harm us there but what God allows. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. It is a satisfying place, and we can please Him. And that, most importantly, that's what we need to remember, pleasing our Lord and glorifying and honoring Him. And I guess just in wrapping up and concluding here today, if you're here today again and you're not for sure 100% of your salvation, that you know you're saved, please, I beg you, come and make sure of that today. Get that settled. Again, you struggle with that. I know when I struggled with that, I was miserable. That really bothered me. And you got to settle that. And if you're not sure, get saved. If you need to get saved, get saved. And then secondly, if you're saved and you've never been scripturally baptized, get baptized. That's our first thing that God tells us. It's our first step of obedience. If you don't get baptized, how are you going to be obedient the rest of your life serving Him? You got to be baptized. That's our first to show others and that we're saved, that we're mean business. And then thirdly, if you're saved, baptized, and you don't have a ministry, boy, get busy and find something to do. You know, someone told me this phrase, no growth without involvement. If we're not involved, we're not going to grow. And folks, there's a lot of churches out there that I see that people aren't involved. And there's no spiritual growth. They're stagnant in many churches. Well, you need to be involved and you'll grow. I encourage you here today to think about your place and consider our place and what God has for us. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we do thank You again for the day. I thank You for the fine folks here at Calvary. And I thank You for their attention this morning. And I just pray, Father, as we consider our place and the importance of doing what You have for us. Again, it's not something that takes a lot of thought, but it's a matter of commitment and realizing what You have done for us and the importance of being faithful and serving You and putting our cares and desires aside, Father, but putting You first and putting others first. I pray, Father, that You would just move this morning and during this invitation time. And that, again, if there's someone here that is not for sure of their salvation, they would get that right, Father, today. Maybe there's someone here that might be struggling, thinking about full-time service, Father, or struggling with being able to just talk to others about You. I pray, Father, that You would just help encourage them today. We thank You for everything You have given to us in Jesus' name. Amen.